Speaking of number one, I got to go.
Yep. Have a great day. It's all about you, Lou. Thank you so much.
See you, Lou. Girlfriend. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth and Annabella Val in for Kathy and Judy today. Thanks for being with us and spending part of your Saturday morning with us. We are so glad to be here with you. How's it going, Anna?
It's going great. It's going great. I can't complain. I'm so excited to work with you.
I'm so excited to work with you. I feel like we've been internet best friends for years.
I know. The pressure to look good this morning because you could do like a selfie with me and you look amazing in all your selfies. I was like, should I? But it's radio. No one cares.
No.
But Amy will look beautiful in her selfie number, what, 300 and what? What
are
what?
Almost 365.
The year has gone by already? Did you start last summer?
No, I'm just really behind from last year. It's still 2000.
Oh, are
we're
you
still
kidding
2015.
Me?
I'm still working. I can't do one every day.
No.
I can't be bothered. Some days it's all about just like bun in
right.
the hair and yoga pants. I'm right. not trying to take a
but
selfie.
Still, you look
days.
Wonderful.
Thank you. That's very, very nice of you. I'm all about those selfie, those the 365 selfie. You know, I did it because selfies get a lot of grief.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's a lot of women especially that feel like, oh, don't put me in that picture. Oh, don't put me in that. I don't want to be in that. And I think there's a lot of moms that are always the one taking the picture, not being in the picture.
Right.
And I was reading something about how selfies are changing family photos because now moms are in pictures.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's really cool. And then I heard some young women talking about, they were like complaining. They were lovely young women ripping themselves to shreds, talking about being ugly. And I was like, you know what? We should all just go take up all the space we can.
Yeah.
And that's why I started doing them.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and it's just your beautiful face.
I thank you.
It's not, you know, your Kim Kardashian assets.
No.
Which is...
I don't have Kardashian assets.
No. I mean, honestly, who really does, Amy?
Who does?
Who does? But I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great use of a smartphone, which, by the way, it's going to be our first topic today.
Yeah, it is.
This scares me as a mom of an 8-year-old who knows exactly how to navigate my smartphone. She doesn't have a smartphone, but how soon... do you give your child a smartphone? How old should they be? That's the question. And that's a question that's constantly in my head because if my mother always says that if she would have raised me now, she would have given me a phone, just a phone, around age 10.
Just to keep track of
just
you.
Just to keep track of us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they canceled band, so no one picked me up. That kind of miscommunication or trying to find someone's phone or a payphone at school to call your mother, wherever your mother was, that would have made it easier.
It also would have been, it would have made curfew a very different thing. Remember how,
mm-hmm.
like, that was always a good thing for busting curfew? Well, there was no one, I had no way to call you.
Exactly.
I couldn't have.
Exactly. You can check on them.
But were so busy driving back.
But the smartphone has elevated the cell phone to something else.
Yeah.
Or my father calls his highly intelligent phone, not a smartphone, because there are a bunch of apps now and a lot of information out there that you may not want them to have their thumbs on, you know, so early on. And there was a study from a woman who wrote a book called The Boogeyman Exists and He's in Your Child's Back Pocket. And she surveyed 70,000 children in the last 18 months. That's a lot of kids. And she found that on average, sexting began in the fifth grade. Pornography consumption began when children turned 8.
What?
My kid's almost 9.
Whoa.
And pornography addiction began around age 11. Right?
I know we're on radio and I need to say something, but I have no words for that.
I was reading that off air and I'm like, wait, what?
Pornography addictions? Was there a difference when that happened for boys or girls?
No, it doesn't say. Mm-mm.
Wow. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you about what you think about when the right age is for kids to have a smartphone.
A smartphone, because there are still dumb
phones. You
get
a little flip phone.
That I would be game for. I'm raising them in the city, so it would be awesome to give them a phone that I can just call them or they can text me. And there's a setting where you can control what they can do on it. I've been giving my kids smartphones since they were little because we would use our old smartphones, put videos there, and just give them. I raise them thanks to television, so I'm not the kind of mom who will limit that amount of stuff they can see. So that would calm them down. I would put videos on them, and then they would watch that smartphone. But now, she was playing Pokemon Go the other day on my work phone because I had it for work, and she already got bored from it, you know?
Wow.
She was like, I don't need this anymore, but look, these are the Bitmojis, and she made a Bitmoji for herself. She's 8, And to think that an 8-year-old could find pornography here and get addicted by age 11.
I think the attention span part of that is really, really interesting. Yeah. I mean, I hear people, young people complain about the length of movies now.
Oh, gosh.
That if it's an hour and a half, oh, my God, it's so long. That was an epic drama. I was like, have you ever seen like Gone with the Wind or Ben-Hur? You know, those are like 3-hour movies. There's an intermission in Gone with the Wind. Like they're
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Schindler's
I mean,
List.
Even that, like I know a teenager who recently watched a lot of all the John Hughes movies. Mm-hmm. And her take on them was really interesting. But one thing she kept saying, oh, my God, 16 Candles was so long. I was like, that movie's not that long. It's a standard movie. What are you talking about? And to her, in her mind, that was so, so long. And I really wonder a lot about young people's about their attention spans because they get so bored so fast.
Yes. Yes. And they need constant entertainment.
Constant. I worry about that part. I think there's I mean, not to be super woo-woo, seashells and wind chimes here, but I think there's like a lot of value in being able to just sit with yourself. And you need to contemplate stuff and you need to decide what you think about things. And if you're always jumping on the next thing, you're not going
to
know.
And you need to be bored. That's what I tell my daughter all the time. I can't entertain you all the time. I don't have all the answers. That's the other thing. Google is wonderful. We didn't have that. But she expects answers to every question immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can Google them and she will tell me, Google it, Mom.
Have you seen that? What is it called? LMGTFY.com.
No.
Let me Google that for you. So if someone asks you a question or texts you or emails you like, hey, do you know why so-and-so and so-and-so? You can just send them that link. Like, let me Google that for you. A little snarky, but funny. Well, again, give us a call. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Joanne. Hi, Joanne. You're on WGN.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? It's a beautiful day in Northwest Indiana. I don't think that it has anything to do with the age of the child. I think it has to do with the involvement of the parent. My 11-year-old grandson has a phone. It was a Christmas present last year. And his parents are very diligent about checking his phone every single day. He knows he has to hand them his phone so that they can look at where he's been and who he's talking to. And, you know, they restrict his ability to put apps on his phone without their guidance, and it has to do with parent involvement. You can't let the electronic be the parent of the child. The parents have to be the parent.
That's a good point, but if they have the phone and the parent is not around when they're 13 and 14, they're walking around and they have friends that can, you know, they can get around anything nowadays. But I agree with you. The parents have to be hands-on. Another thing that's interesting, because of the lack of attention, they have the smartphone like we do. We have it right next to us right now. Like I have something more important than talking to you. You know, so I see it with my niece. She's 14 and she's doing homework, allegedly.
Right. On her phone.
But my mom will walk by their bedroom and notice that she's on the phone looking at something or laughing at something, which is clearly not homework. So it affects their studying habits.
Yeah, there's a sense of like, I mean, I think we all do this, not just young people. Yeah. I think there's a sense of like, we've got to have this phone next to us all the time.
Right. Yeah. But I agree with you, Joanne. I think the parents, I think what your children are doing is smart. And there are, you don't have to completely forbid it, but you can find some way to control it. Because after all, you're paying for it.
Right.
I also think that the parents need to set the example. For example, if we go out to dinner, and I'm engaging my grandson in conversation, but his parents are on their phones, I will call that to their attention and say, what example are you setting? So the reality of that is that they've started to put their phones down or leave them out in the car when we go into the restaurant with the thought process that I'm showing him that conversation with the family is more important than a social conversation with somebody that you don't even know.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Last night, that happened at my house. Our daughter was binge watching some show on Netflix. My husband said, you have to put the iPad down as soon as that show is over. And I was on my phone and I looked at him, my eyes of despair, like, what? We have to play now? Are we engaging in conversation? It's almost 8. They have to go to bed.
We have to talk to each other.
Wait a second. I don't want to play trains. I'm being brutally honest, Amy.
Right. It's all good.
It happens. You don't like them all the time. After you have them, you don't like them all the time.
Sure, that's fair. That's fair. Thanks for the call, Joanne. Have a great day.
Thank Thank you.
Bye.
All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break. Amy Guth, Annabelle Avall in for Kathy and Judy today. We'll be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Smarter than a PhD. Just swipe the screen and ask away. You don't have to know how to read. Just Google it, schmoogle it, bamboozle it. Why bother learning on your own? Just ask your little phone.
And we do all the time.
All the time. That's a thing. Amy Guth, Annabelle Avall here on 720 WGN. We're in for Kathy and Judy today, and we're chatting away, talking about all kinds of things. But right now we are talking about what the right age is to allow kids to have smartphones. Not just a phone, but a smartphone in particular, where they can Google things and put apps on there and all those things. And we are taking your calls 312-981-7200. Kathy, hi. You're on WGN.
Hi, I love your show, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a 2.5-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Sloan. She knows how to work an iPad. She knows how to turn it on. She knows to go to video. She knows how to start it up again, fix a movie. I'm totally amazed. I mean, she can maneuver the iPad better than I can.
It's what they know. When she was born, it was around already. I was telling Amy, we've had to learn that recently. It's second nature for my 3-year-old as well.
There's also
isn't it something
about the design function, because there's a video that Apple did where they give iPads to babies, and they wanted they wanted the design to be so intuitive that you wouldn't have to have an instruction manual, that you could just put it in front of somebody and they could figure out what to do with it. But for some reason, they, like the little children, just instinctively knew what to do with it.
Yet my 77-year-old father can't figure it out.
Oh, no.
It was better for the baby.
Yeah.
They didn't think of the octogenarians.
Right. So will someone think of the octogenarians?
Come on. They want to text and Google, too.
They, if you do it by repetition, the older you get, the better I get anyway.
That's
wonderful. Learn how to do something, do it 10 times a day, and then you'll get it.
That's right.
But these little kids are like so smart.
Yeah, they really are.
Crazy.
It's almost scary.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah,
thanks very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Thanks.
You know, the experts are saying the longer you wait, the better, Amy, because you are opening a Pandora's box that you don't know what it has inside.
Sure.
Hence called Pandora's box.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think it's important that if you're going to, like the first caller we had, Joanne, she was talking about how you have to monitor your kids' usage, which is all well and good, but you need to be able to speak emoji.
Yeah.
If you're going to monitor what your kids are texting to each other, because something really raunchy could be happening and you don't know it. You're like, oh, they're texting eggplants and vegetables. Uh-uh. That means a thing.
Really?
Look that up. Oh, yeah.
Because there are no pornographic emojis. They just figure out the euphemisms, right?
Right.
Eggplant.
Eggplant, peaches, tacos, all those things.
Oh, my God.
All porn
I better
emojis.
Leave with a list, Amy, since at 11, Amelia could be sending these texts.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
See?
Goodness.
Hi, Candace. You're on WGN.
I'm struggling about how these kids cannot. But one thing, I want to make a few points. First point is, I see a lot of wealthy parents who give their kids this stuff. And you know what? Their kids never want to ever pick up a book ever again. Okay? And they're not that smart, these kids who have these smartphones, okay, because they don't want to read, they don't want to do all the things that we did growing up, so they're not going to learn. You're never going to learn how to spell very well if you don't read, okay? The second thing is, South Korea was building all these little smartphones and laptops and everything for people, and so they gave them to the kids there for free. And later the government found they took them away from the kids because they found all kinds of problems with their brain functioning, with their eyesight and everything else. And everybody can Google that and read about it, because there's a woman who's a huge advocate who's against these smartphones for kids and how it damages their brain and cognitive stuff. And I believe it.
Mm-hmm. So according to her research, what was the should you not have a smartphone until older?
I don't remember what age it was. She was on one of these shows, like a morning show, and I don't remember what show it was, but she was talking about eyesight and how it's bad for their reading and just a number of things that they found. So the government there took them away from took those smartphones away from the kids. But now we are finding that the brightness of the screens and stuff is damaging to the eyes. And I think the kids who are on these that I see, because I've been witnessing, you know, kids with these for like 7 years, they have such a short attention span, but they will not read a book if you give them a book. They're like, what's this? I think that is horrible.
You know,
kids should have stuff like this till they're like a teenager at least.
Our school was doing a really good thing with introducing them to tablets just for education purposes and to practice math, to practice reading. But she noticed me reading out of my Kindle app, and she wanted me to download a book for her. And I said, no, we're going to go to the library because I want you to grab a book and read a book like a regular person would in 1998, you know, because I still find such wonderful feelings when I hold a book in my hands and read it. And I said, I don't want her to think that everything will be done on this tablet, which probably it will be, but I wanted her to experience, and they still do it in her school. And so they have a good balance of when you get on the tablet, which is a completely different animal. It can be a completely different gadget than a phone. And when she's doing the traditional book reading.
You know, there's also...
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, you know, what you were saying, Candace, reminds me, there was a... just in the last couple of weeks, there was a story about how the Ethiopian government blocked the internet in the whole country during what is school finals week.
Oh.
There was like a big testing period. They blocked the entire internet for every citizen because they didn't want kids, screwing around on the internet, and they didn't want them cheating on their tests or anything like that. So they were like,
that's really Big Brother-ish.
No internet. I know.
That wouldn't fly here.
We would set things on fire if that happened here.
It would be protesting and looting.
We would lose our minds. You know, she makes a great point, though, about eyesight.
Yes.
Even I have experienced that. I had an injury years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago. I got hit in the eye, and the eye doctor was like, you've got to keep your eye covered and do not look at screens or fluorescent lights for 48 hours at least. Because he's like, even if we're looking at like a still screen, our eyes are like constantly moving really, really fast to correct. And you can see that if you look at a TV screen or a computer screen when it's on TV, like watch the news, you'll see that, right? Mm-hmm. Our eyes are always correcting for that. And so he's like, so what's happening to your eyes in the 40-ish range is what I used to see happening to eyes in like the 50 to 60 range.
Wow.
And he's like, every year the eye stuff starts earlier and earlier.
Yeah, and they tell you not to do it before you go to bed because it messes with your sleeping.
I do the invert colors thing. Go to like accessibility in your phone and invert the colors, and that helps me so much.
Oh, I'm
that
learning
way I can, like,
so much
read
with you today, Goose.
I try. I'm full of useless information. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. We're going to get you to news, all that good stuff. Amy Guth, Annabelle Aval, in for Kathy and Judy today on 720 WGN. WGN. It's Amy Guth and Annabelle Aval in for Kathy and Judy today.
Hello. Good morning.
Thanks for spending part of your Saturday morning with us. We're having so much fun being with you today and hanging out here in the lovely Michigan Avenue Showcase studio, doing all the people watching.
It's awesome here.
I love people watching in the studio. Weather watching and people watching, it's the best. It is the best.
You can see some cool storms go by.
Oh, yeah. I've watched many a blizzard in this studio because I was stuck.
Yeah, I was going to say because you were sleeping here after your show.
It's a thing that happens, yeah. So, you know what I would like to discuss, my friends? And that is something that's sort of like road rage, but it is air rage. Air rage. It starts the minute we arrive at the gate.
Yeah.
And as soon as they open that door and say, let us board, we're now boarding premium so-and-so gold star who's he what's it, blah, 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 blahs. Everybody starts shoving, I am so important, and like shoving to that door. Like, dude, we're not taking off until we're all right here at the gate.
And we're all going to leave together.
We're all going to leave together. We're not going one at a time in our little pods. We're going to go in the same little
uncomfortable
thing. Yeah.
Metal capsule.
We're all in this together here. We're going to all get in this tin can and fly together. But people start pushing and shoving. And then we get to that stage, like once the first class people are on and once we, you know, because it's like, if you have little children and you need an extra minute, if you're military and go ahead. But then we get to the part where everyone's got their little boarding pass out and they're looking at each other. Are you zone one? Are you zone one? Like, because that means I get to go ahead of you if you're not.
Yeah.
And people get really weird and entitled. But then once we're on the plane, it starts all over again.
When they close that door.
People lose their minds.
Crazy go crazier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People get like, and I think there's a lot of anxiety attached to air travel for a lot of people. I get it.
Nerves.
I've been there. Yeah. I have had to think myself out of it. I used to be very afraid of air travel. It never stopped me, but I used to get really anxious and maybe have a, you know, cocktail on the plane.
Smarter. That's very smart. As long as you didn't do it like a friend of mine who drank at the gate and then fell asleep and
the
airplane would leave without her.
Well, but then I had the revelation like, no, I don't want to drink wine on the plane because what if I need my wits about me for something?
You need to be sharp.
Right. Because then I need to be able to do something.
You need to find your exit.
Pull out my vest or whatever. Yes. So then I got even worse. But nonetheless, like a lot of air travel will get you over it. I think if you just do something mm-hmm. enough, you kind of are like, whatever. But then people nerves are heightened anyway, but then everybody is all like weird about getting to their seat and taking up room and all this. And I have like a sidebar PSA here. Do not apologize, especially women do this. If I'm sitting in the aisle and I'm waiting on the seatmates mm-hmm. for the window, men will come up and go, I'm in seat A. Like, okay, that's mm-hmm. a reasonable expectation here. We know how this works. I'm going to get up and give you your seat. Women so many times will walk up and we'll go, I'm sorry, I'm in that seat. I'm sorry. Like, you bought the seat, my friend.
And I got in because I was zone A and you're zone C. But, you know, you followed instructions and we're all in this together.
We're all here. Like, you don't need to apologize for existing and buying your seat. It's fine. Don't do that.
That's what I'm doing now at age turning 42 this August. I've decided not to apologize start a sentence with, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because our kids learn it too. And they now my 3-year-old will be like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I just asked you to move, but you weren't in the way. I just needed to go by.
Yeah.
And it's just.
I think we even say, I'm sorry when we're like, to excuse a point that might be too strong.
Yes. Well,
I'm sorry, but I don't think it's okay when X, Y, Z.
Yeah, I agree. But back to air rage.
Because we could go on tangents aplenty, my friend.
Yes. But back to air rage. Yeah. And I think it there has to be a component of the, like you said, the anxiety of getting to the airport, that the security lines now are way long.
Crazy.
You are in line for 2 hours with people with 5 children and grandmuggle, you know, everything that delays you.
Grandmuggle?
No, it's not my first language, Amy. I'm going to pull that card as often as I can. I didn't want to be insulting and someone say, why is she saying grandma shouldn't travel in her wheelchair? No, what I'm saying is that you're dealing with that and then you get air travel is not what it used to be. It's uncomfortable. You set yourself up to get angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ticket agent's going to be nasty and someone else is going to cross in front of you. And so you're setting yourself up to be peed off when you get up there.
The stakes are high.
The stakes are high.
By the time that plane takes off, the stakes are already high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's taken so long to get through security. You have to pee by the time you get through security.
Right.
Like, you've been there for 2 hours and that cup of coffee.
It's survival
like,
of the fittest inside that capsule then.
It is Hunger Games at the airport. Is what it is. We're all out for each other with sharp elbows.
Yeah. Without the hotness of the characters.
And then when you land, it's a whole other Hunger Games of who's mm-hmm. going to get off that plane first. Like, I get it. And sometimes you got to wait for a gate and that's all bad. And we all have to pee. I get that. But some people have connections.
Mm-hmm.
As Lou was saying when in Crosstalk, he was talking about, like, you have to really make, even when the flight attendant makes an announcement saying, hey, we've got some people making some tight connections, sit your butt down.
Mm-hmm.
If O'Hare is your final destination, people don't care.
No.
They'll be like, but I'm special and I need to get the plane now.
I think a lot of it has to do with also your seatmate, because you're in those cramped seats. And if you've got someone that might take their shoes off. Andrea Darlis just sent me an email this week and she said a man took his shoes off on my flight to Philly and it smelled like vinegar and death. So like when you're next to that for 2 hours, there's a little air rage coming on.
Yeah.
Where you're like, get me off this plane. I don't want to touch this person anymore. This person maybe fell asleep and drooled on me. Like, I get it. I get the air rage.
And I'm not a tiny woman. I'm almost 6 feet tall and I barely fit in that seat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scrawny but tall.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I'll ask if I put my seat back, I'll say something like, excuse me, do you mind if I put my seat back? Are you doing, if they've got their laptop out, I'm not going to put my seat back. Also, I'm a grown woman and unless it's an international flight, I probably don't need a nap right now.
Right.
Like, I'm a big girl. It's fine. But people immediately.
I don't need a nap at 11 a.m.
Yeah, I'm good. I have my graham cracker and apple juice.
I woke up at 7. It's
I'm
okay.
A grown woman here. And people will like that. Yeah, you're right.
Or if someone is also a little bit like invading your space because they can't fit into their seat. I'm sorry, that's annoying.
Elbow rest entitlement is my thing, that I'll fight you for the elbow rest. Like, I'll share it, but don't push my elbow off it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Ooh,
Don't take away my armrest either.
I'm getting
Wow, you're getting rage.
The air
already.
Rage is so real.
I haven't been to yoga in 24 hours. I need to go to yoga right now. I've got some
sweat
issues.
It out. Gotta sweat it out.
I need some down dog right now. Hi, John. You're in WGN.
We lost him.
Oh, we lost
him. Did we?
No, I'm
John,
here.
You're there? Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi. I travel a lot, and the two things that bother me most are, one, making sure that I get a place to put my bag, which is why most people push to the front of the row or are members of the different loyalty clubs. And mm-hmm. then, two, when you do are fortunate enough to get an aisle, the thing that drives me most rude are the people who carry too many bags on and are basically smacking you in the shoulder or the head as they're trying to get down into the back of the plane. Those are the biggest issues.
And I blame that on airline carriers that charge way too much for you to check a bag.
I completely agree.
You have the sense of paranoia that they're going to charge you or lose it. And when you get there, you don't want to wait an hour to see if your luggage made it or not.
Yeah, well, I think the bigger issue is people carry these huge bags through TSA when, in fact, they shouldn't be, just so they could get them to the gate so then they could check them and not have to pay anything.
Yeah.
Especially if they have like a zone 5.
Right.
So it's as much the combination of the airline mm-hmm. and the TSA for not adhering to the rules that they themselves put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's totally true. The airlines do have a big role in this. You're exactly right to bring that up. Yeah. Good point. Thanks, John.
I feel like they foster the uncomfortable conditions that then make us so angry.
They do.
I think so.
But they certainly don't do anything to help it.
No. No. Don't. And they won't, because they still are trying to figure out how to make the seats smaller.
Yeah.
Didn't they talk about having a stand up in some flights at some point? Like a bus? No.
I remember talking to Orion Samuelson, and he always goes, I remember back in the day before airline regulation, and it was like you would get dressed up to go flying. Yeah, and it was a real treat.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It was a very big deal. My dad traveled in a suit. The most he'll do now when he comes to visit is a sports jacket.
Yeah, that's how my dad is too.
Oh, yeah.
My dad would rather not go anywhere than appear in an airport not dressed up. He feels like that is just a low-class move. Just
yes.
Don't do that.
They won't respect you.
Yeah. No one will respect you if you...
You won't get a drink with ice in it.
They will not give you a napkin with your cocktail.
No ice for you because you are in sweatpants.
And the sweatpants might say something across the
on
butt.
Your tush. And that is just sacrilegious. You are a low-life.
Oh, there's so
but
much
isn't it in your psyche, though?
It's true.
It is in my psyche because I kind of plan my outfit, especially if I'm flying to Puerto Rico to see them. I don't go in sweats and a T-shirt. I put a lot of thought into it, too.
Especially if I'm flying from one climate to another.
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to do this? And then how am I going to fly back where I got to put on snow boots? But there I'm in. It's going to be 80. And here I do that all the time.
Do you know that there's a lot of I travel, obviously, a lot back to the island. And when in December, we usually do it for the holidays. We dress the part. So we are decked out in winter in Chicago. We arrive in San Juan and we're in the bathroom switching shoes or whatever. And when we're leaving, we're one of the few people in the airport that have jeans and a long sleeve shirt. I have sweaters for the kids but there are so many tourists that come back from the island to 20 below in their shorts and T-shirts. And my mom's like, don't they know they're going to 20 below? We arrive in Chicago. They're pulling out their beach towels to cover themselves up. I'm like, guys, you knew where you were coming to. I can't handle that. I think I'm going to get pneumonia and die. I need to be climate appropriate.
I hang on to the warmth as long as I can. I'm a warm weather person. So I have landed at O'Hare, gone into the bathroom, and then put on snow boots because I've landed in sandals. I'm like, I just have to keep this lovely, warm thing.
That may be it. That's what I told my mom. I said, I think, and they're also sunburned. So...
Also that.
The clothing hurts them.
There's also
that. Layers hurt
Indeed.
Them.
Well, we need to take a little break, but we're talking all about air rage and all of the many factors, so feel free to call and air your grievances. It's like Festivus, just in the middle of the summer. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Air your grievances, my friends. 312-981-7200. Amy Gu with Annabelle Evall will be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Fly the friendly skies to our little corner of the world.
Dance to that one for a minute. That's a good jam. Hi, friends. Amy Guth, Annabelle Aval, in for Kathy and Judy today. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday morning with us. We are talking right now about air rage, which is a lot like road rage, but in the air and at the airport, when you land, before you take off, all those things. And we, as we have decided in the last segment, the airlines are not necessarily doing much to help this.
This is like blame your parents for all your ailments.
Not my fault.
Blame the airline.
But we do our parts because we do a strange, like, herd animal mentality takes over as soon as they open that gate to get onto the plane, to get off of the plane. Our elbows get mighty sharp.
Yes.
And we get really interested.
Our backpacks.
What zone are you in?
Lethal.
Yeah. Our little rolly carts. If I roll my cart in front of you first, then it's not rude when I jump ahead of you. Yeah. Like, all these things happen, these weird, very passive aggressive things. So we're talking all about, we're having a little festivus here. So we're airing our grievances about the airports and thinking about how we can fix that. And how, I mean, I think we need to definitely think about how we can be a little more civilized to one another at the airport. It certainly starts with that. But of course, we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Helen, hi, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Helen.
Yeah, I flew back from Aruba on 5'10". The woman in front of me must have been a whole 5 feet tall, and she put that seat all the way back.
Oh.
And we land, and she said, oh, I had such a wonderful flight. I slept all the way back, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, if you could only read my mind.
I know.
I didn't say anything because I don't want trouble on a plane, but she had no idea how I wanted to throttle her.
I hear you, Helen. I'm tall, too. I feel your pain. Tall women unite at the airport.
I know. I feel bad because my husband's 6 feet tall, and that he always gets a person who wants to lay flat on him. And his legs have to spread, and we get the aisle for him, but it's still not a comfortable 4.5-hour flight.
No, it's not. And she had no, you know, it was just like, oh, old lady, if you only knew. And but there's just nothing you can do without causing trouble. I mean, you just can't. Yeah. And I was flying back with my son and his wife, and they had just gotten married. And it's like, okay, we can do this. We can.
We got this.
But when I fly to New York next week, it's going to be a different story. It's not going to happen again.
Exactly. Oh, she feels empowered now. Yeah, she's ready.
Yeah.
Go, Helen. Because I'm not flying with them. I'm flying with a girlfriend, so I don't care that they will not be putting that seat back on me this time.
Testify.
So, there's power in numbers. She's got her girlfriend, and her girlfriend and her are going to stand up for each other.
You're going to get it done, Helen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look for you on the news, getting arrested on that flight.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No. Okay.
I'm kidding you. Okay. All right. Take care, Helen. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I feel her. I do. The plight of the tall woman in an airplane. Oof. It is not just women. All people.
Yeah.
Tall people. There are tall people. Hashtag tall
people,
problems. It's real. It's so real. Hi, George. You're on WGN.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call. Doing fantastic. Actually, my input was that, you know what, if you were more proper attire required for all flights, people would respect each other even more so because, you know, when you're your best, when you go to work, example, you're at your best. You don't lower your standards. You know what I'm saying to you? I believe that, you know what? You raise the bar. This way you can be able to have a better service. And also, not only just the service, but yourself. You respect other people better.
So dress the part. We act better when we look better. When we dress up. And
when you know better, you do better. Pretty much. It's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks very much, George. For the call, George. All right. You know, he's got a point.
Yeah.
Both of our fathers would approve.
Our parents would approve, yeah. Mm-hmm. A nice two-piece suit,
that's
Amy.
Right, for that airport. Hi, Kathy. You're on WGN.
Hi. What I wanted to talk about is when we were coming back from Phoenix, my daughter and I, and I've never had this happen before, but the fact that our flight was late in the first place, I think it kind of put people in a bad mood, maybe. But when we landed and they gave us the okay to depart, people started jumping up, getting their things down from the overhead, and pushing past the front people. And there is kind of a protocol or a courtesy, a natural courtesy, that the first seats let off first.
Mm-hmm.
And this got to where people were pushing and pushing their, they would have rolling bags. Pardon me, pushing them in front of them to keep people from getting out of their seats. I've never seen anything like it. It made me so angry because there were people with children trying to get their children up, you know, after a long flight.
Right. Yeah.
very discourteous.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, we were talking earlier about how when people have connections, if a flight attendant says, hey, if O'Hare is your final destination, can you sit for a minute? We've got some people making some really tight connections. I even heard someone one time say, there is a group traveling today. There's a lot of connections to be made. One in particular, it is bereavement travel. Can you please, they're at the back of the plane. Would you mind? Even then, no one did anything.
Really?
Yeah. Even then. Shame
on
them.
That's horrible.
We got to be so much nicer to each other.
It will work out better if we are.
Yeah.
You know, like you were saying, just sit there, relax.
Just
they're
going
to get us to our final destination at the same time, all of us. I understand the connection stress. I get
that. Yeah, I get that.
And we should all sit down and let them go, of course. But we're all getting there at the same time on the same airplane. No one's winning.
And if you wait to pee once you get at the airport, you're doing it wrong. You need to pee when you're in the air so you don't have to wait in that line.
When the movie's going on. Not when it's done. Don't complain if there's a line when the movie's over.
Yeah, no.
You idiot. You should have known better.
It's
go in the
middle. It's not going to be that good of a
movie anyway. It's not.
Thanks for the call, Kathy. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Jeannie, hi. You're on WGN.
Hi. They make a product now that you can keep the seat from coming back down, the seat in front of you. It's called the blocker.
You need to Google this, Goof. This could be a savior for you.
What?
Yeah.
So what happens? So if the person in front of you tries to put their seat back, just nothing happens?
I'm not sure because I don't have a blocker yet, but I may get a blocker. I feel like I should be washing their hair. Some of them are so low.
A nice scalp massage.
I flew on Frontier, and they have some of their newer planes. The seats don't go back. It's
Hello,
just how
Frontier.
It is. And you know what? For all the grief, I think it's worth it to just. They should just cut that out.
Absolutely. Oh.
And then last thing, I got on a flight, and there was a man sitting next to me that smelled so bad. Within 3 minutes, I got a headache, and. Before we took off, I asked if I could be moved, and I was lucky enough to be moved very – I had to move up, like, at least 8 seats to get away from how bad this man smelled.
I have a question for you. How did you ask that of the flight attendant without making a very awkward situation with that guy?
I got out of my seat. I went to her in the back.
Oh, I see. Okay. Was it, like, B.O. or, like, cologne?
Solid funk. It was
hashtag solid funk.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Solid funk.
Horrible. Oh my god!
And I usually don't have a lot of. I don't have that many problems. I had a problem with. I travel a lot, but I had a problem with one of the gate guards was really rude to me and my mom. I had an elderly mother I was traveling with, and they were very rude to her. But other than that, I find that. You know, people are very pleasant. I was putting my brother on a plane. He was a quadriplegic, and I had to get him a first-class thing, and I sat in the first seat of the coach. I sat next to this woman, and she could just tell by my face I was having a rough day. She got out her little reader. What do they call those?
The Kindle. Mm-hmm. The Kindle.
Yeah, it was a Kindle. She's like, here, I got out a Kindle. Why don't you read this little funny book? And, I mean,
she was
the sweetest person. You know what I mean? Yeah, and it was a really rough flight. And she was my angel, and I really appreciate her. And I think that women sometimes do things for each other.
That's wonderful.
And I just really appreciated it, and I, she just, like, tended to me. Do you want a lifesaver?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. I think that's good. Like, women's intuition kicks in, and we know that, like, you can look at your sisters and be like, girl is not having a good day. She needs a hug. I need to help her.
On the same flight that my quadriplegic brother, I had to put him in first class, and I thought, oh, my God, I feel horrible for the guy that's in first class next to my brother, who's a quadriplegic, and for some reason decided to dress like Rambo that day. And I gave him a Vicodin, so he slept most of the trip.
But you know what? That man, I went up there to check on him, and he was a businessman, and he could not have been more gracious.
Oh, good.
That's wonderful. Good. You have some good stories.
You really do.
I do. I do. I really, and I appreciate it. Well, I appreciate it. So now I try to pay it a little forward when I'm on a plane.
Good.
And that's what, you know, the best viral videos have been of flight attendants helping with babies, mm-hmm. of the other passengers just holding the baby while the mom can, you know, do whatever she needs to yep. do with the four-year-old.
Yeah.
Those are heartwarming, and it's what we should be seeing over and over.
Definitely.
Well, it's funny because I was going down to visit, like, three little nephews and nieces in Tampa, and I had a bag of chocolate candy, and I had, like, 10 wind-up toys that I had bought for them. And I ended up stuck in O'Hare for 3 hours. And I just got out the wind-up toys and made friends with every kid around me. And we just all sat for 3 hours.
Wonderful.
Their parents said they could have chocolate. I gave it to them. You
nice.
Know what I mean? But that's how I paid it forward.
You're a good egg. Thanks for calling and sharing your stories with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a great day. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and get you to news and all that good stuff. Amy Guth and Annabelle Aval in for Kathy and Judy on 720 WGN. Singing along with that one. Oh, yeah, I have to talk.
Yep.
That's a fine jam. That's always a good girl power song. Well, my friends, Amy Guth and Annabelle Aval in for Kathy and Judy today. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday with us. We are most grateful to you for that. And, of course, we're taking your calls, 312-981-7200. We love hearing from you. And the reason we were just playing that song is because, you know, kind of some big stuff happened this week.
Big girl power week this week.
Yeah, big time girl power this week. And while we're not trying to necessarily have an election conversation right. at the moment, no matter where you fall politically, let us all take a moment and say, holy moly, a woman just got a major party nomination to run for president.
Finally.
That's a big deal.
In history.
It is 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, like sitting there watching it and like how, what a beautiful moment. Like what a lovely moment. And I was looking at Twitter and Facebook and so many people updating and posting pictures of the back of their daughters, like watching the TV and mm-hmm. like I'm and talking about being so emotional. I'm so glad my daughter can see this. Yeah. And I thought that was so sweet. And so many people posting about that. And it occurs to me that girls right now, especially little ones, how cool that this will be so normal.
Right.
That anyone of any race and any gender mm-hmm. can run for president and that's get very far, if not be elected. That's very, very cool. And so Marie Dillon at the Chicago Tribune on the edit board there, she wrote a really interesting piece this week about what were the things that you were told you could not do as a girl? Because mm-hmm. that has brought up a lot of stuff. You know, for little girls, this is normal. But for those of us who maybe grew up, you know, not even that long ago,
right.
some of us were told there were things we couldn't do.
I mean, Marie even quotes one of her editors saying that she...
like in the 80s.
She could in the 80s, she couldn't be the paper's editorial writer because she didn't have the right parts.
Ugh.
In the 80s. And let me tell you, as I told you earlier, I have an 8-year-old that has asked me, why can't a woman be president? Mm. I said, she can.
We're trying.
She has the right parts to do it.
I wish
it's called a brain.
I wish Geraldine Ferraro could have lived to see that day.
Yes.
That would have been cool for her.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that. That's true.
Bless her.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, there are lots of things, and we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200.
The lines are blowing up, so a lot of people have heard this before, Amy.
What did you hear?
What did I hear? More than I couldn't do it because I was a girl, I heard of things that my brother did and I didn't do. So I never took out the trash because that was a man's job.
Uh-huh.
I had to cook for my brother who's 6 years older than me because I was the girl.
Mm.
So my parents never said I couldn't do anything. But by example, my mom chose to be a stay-at-home mom because my father at a dinner when I was in my 20s said I couldn't have handled a woman who was more successful than I was. And here I am. So he raised a different kind of woman, but that wasn't the life partner he was looking for.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough not to hear that in my household. But yeah, I mean, just in the career path that I chose.
Yeah.
just my looks have to be a lot more outstanding for a longer time than men, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's that. Remember that Australian morning anchor? It was like a male-female morning team.
The
guy wore the same suit every day for a year. Nobody said a thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, she wore the same color twice in a week. Oh, you wore a blue dress. You're terrible. Yeah. Have some respect for yourself.
Right. Really? Right. And, let's not talk about the poor pregnant weather people or anchors. Oh,
there are special kinds of standards.
What were you? Your uncle told you something.
Yeah, my uncle said, because I always say I didn't pick journalism, it picked me. Mm-hmm. So I started making a little newspaper for the house as soon as I could write, like with a pencil and a ruler. And then I got a typewriter that my dad gave me, and that like doubled production. Right. Then it's on.
You need a staff now.
All right. I need people. I need interns. But nonetheless, I told my uncle, he said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, well, I want to be a journalist, and I want to write the newspaper, and I want to be on the radio, and I want to be on TV and talk about the news. And he said, well, I don't know. You have to be really smart, and for girls, you have to be really pretty to do that. So maybe you could be a secretary there, and that way you can be around those people and not have to do it.
How old was your uncle?
Not that old.
It was an uncle, not a great uncle. This was someone's sibling.
Oh, this man is still alive.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
proved him wrong big
I know.
Time.
I show you. Right. Yeah. I mean, he really just felt like, it'd be safer for you to just be a secretary and be around, like, the message was let the men do that. Yeah.
My grandmother could not be a doctor. She could be a scientist, but her father said, you can't be a doctor because you're a woman. So she went as far as she could, and she was one of the first women to graduate with a master's degree from Cornell University.
Right on.
Right? Go and on, she girl. Was amazing. She married late in life to a man that was a lot older than her. And my mom one day said, oh my God, so-and-so married in a two-piece suit, because my mom was very traditional. My grandmother said, be quiet, I married in a brown suit to your father. And that was in the 1930s.
Yeah. Well, you know, my sidebar to weddings, though, my grandmother said, like my cousin got married this past year. My grandmother said, I don't see what the big, like, that's so much money. That's mm-hmm. all, you know, this is so expensive. She said, you just got married in the prettiest dress you had.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't about like the big five grand right. white dress, you know, all right. that. Anyway, that's a whole other show right there. Hi, Jan. You're on WGN.
Oh, hi. I know mine is kind of silly. I couldn't be an altar boy.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
But now I am. I'm an altar server.
Good for you.
But I also remember when I was pregnant and I was working, they told me I couldn't work anymore because I was 6 months pregnant and I didn't look right.
You didn't look right.
Then they called me back and they said if I could please work for them, they'd put me in the back room.
Oh, my goodness.
So I did. Made lots of money in the back room.
Right. Wow. What year was this, if you don't mind me asking?
63.
Lord have mercy. What can you say?
The altar boy was a little earlier than that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Can you say what industry that right. was that you were
working?
It was
working? General Motors. It was Oldsmobile.
Really?
I worked in the zone office, yes, in Maryland. And they said, we can't have you, you know. But then they called me back and they said, you know, could you just work in the mailroom? Because I said I would look disgusting. And they said, no, you're fine.
I worked
up until the ninth month then.
Oh, how far we've come.
Lord.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. I'm just something. So excited everything is. Of course, I don't like Hillary. I'm very sorry, girls. But it's nice to know that someone could.
Right.
I'm glad you can appreciate that, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. I can appreciate that. You know, I don't like the other one either. So
Thanks for the
it's
call,
It's a
Jen.
Catch 22. Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Sherry. You're on WGN. What were you told you couldn't do as a girl?
Hello.
Hi, Sherry.
Oh, hi. I was just saying that when I was into high school, it was just assumed from my parents that I would just be a secretary because partially, you know, financial. They just didn't think they could send me to college. But then I had a few teachers, and I was a good student, and a few teachers that encouraged me, and they may have even talked to my parents. I don't even remember that. But they encouraged me, and sure enough, I got a loan. I got loans for college and went to college, and now I have a master's. And, you know, it's that's one of my things I'm most proud of.
That's so wonderful.
To go to college.
Right on, yeah. Sherry. Right
but
on.
I'll tell you, back in those days, it was really, now this was in the 60s, but if you were either pretty much girls were teachers or secretaries, and it was very limited in what the scope of, or what the dreams were, really, you know.
I think also one thing that we were all told too was, you know, you could have this career, but when you have kids,
you need to stop.
You need to stop. That's all cute now. I remember when I had my first child, I had girlfriends my age who said, so you're going to keep working full time? Yeah, because A, you can't do my job full time, and I love it.
Also, and I think it's important to show your children
definitely
that, like, look at what I'm contributing, look at all I'm doing. I'm, you know, like, to show that you, I have dreams that I'm doing, which, whatever they are.
Whatever they are.
I think that matters. Thanks very much for the call, Sherry. Have a great
day. Thank you.
You know, my mom, she fought to get into medical school, and she has some stories. Like, it ended up not being the path she wanted once she got there, and she had some mixed feelings about that. She was like, oh, man, I fought so hard to get here at a time when no women were doing this. But, you know, some of the things people said to her, like, would get your arm broken now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this was, like, in the deep South. She was she went to a medical school in the South and really fought hard to get there. And some of the things were just astounding.
Wow.
We are talking all about things you were told you could not do because you were a girl. Because, you know, kind of a big week for girl power. No matter where you fall politically, I think we can all recognize that. So we are talking all about that, and we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Amy Guth, Annabelle Aval, in for Kathy and Judy. We'll be right back in just a bit on 7.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Oh, that's a good jam. You can't not dance when you hear that one.
I know.
As I just did. If you're watching the live stream, you would see that. All right, my friends, Amy Guth and Annabelle Aval in for Kathy and Judy today. Thanks very much for sharing your Saturday with us. We are talking all about things that you were told you could not do because you were a girl. Because, you know, I don't know if you know, but it was kind of a big week for the ladies, right? Kind of a big week for girl power.
Right.
Kind of a little bit of history made. That's all I'm going to say about that. So, and I think regardless of where you fall politically, we can all acknowledge that is a big flipping deal.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome. And I loved seeing on social media how many people were posting pictures of their daughters watching TV and watching that, and especially the little girls, because that will be totally normal to them. They're like, sure, anybody can run. It's all good.
Which is what happened with African-American little kids.
Totally. Totally. Now, there was a little cartoon I saw the other day running around Facebook that was like, it was like a little white boy, and it was said, since, you know, 17, whatever, it said, I could run for that one day. And then it was like a little brown child. I can run from like 2008. I can run for that job one. And now it's girls. Like, oh, I can do that one day. And it was indeed like, why should any child of any color or any gender not be able to say, I can go as far as I want in this country, and I can take, you know, whatever I set my eyes on, I can go and achieve that. And that's a very exciting step. So nonetheless, there are lots of messages, sometimes from relatives, from well-meaning adults in our lives that should be super encouraging to us. Sometimes they mean well, but they just are not really steering us that way. That sometimes we get those interesting messages. And sometimes as adults, even when we're first starting our careers, we get super weird comments from bosses and mentors and that kind of thing. So we want to hear from you. What did you hear that you could not do because you were a girl? Hi, Julia. You're on WGN.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you.
Good. Thanks. So when I started my teaching career, I wasn't super young. I was in my late 20s, and I got a job teaching middle school, and it's about 1988. And when I was signing my contract, part of the contract I had to initial was a morality clause.
What is that?
I know. Well, if it's the 1700s, I could have understood it. But it was stating that I would basically not get pregnant out of wedlock. And if I did, I would quit.
Was this a Catholic school?
No.
Asks the Catholic, by the way.
A public school on the North Shore.
What?
So it was, and, you know, I needed a job, and I was married, so I was just like, whatever. But I remember thinking, like, that is crazy. And then, you know what? Somebody got pregnant out of wedlock. And we said goodbye to her. And it was, by then it was maybe the early 90s, and then they stopped it in about 95.
95?
I know. That's how old you are.
95.
I remember saying, because I was in my late 20s and I wasn't totally, you know, wide-eyed, I did say, so if any, do the males have to sign this, or is this just, you know, exclusive to the gals? And they said, just please sign it.
We don't need to explain it to you.
If you could stop using your lady brain to ask questions and just sign it, that'd be great.
Just go teach some grammar.
Right, right. Stick to the little kids.
I'm going to do a backflip of rage right now.
Oh, my goodness.
1995.
95.
I know. So it's not that ancient, which is really sad.
I know.
A year later, that someone could have asked me to sign that for my first job because I graduated in 96.
Yeah. Goodness. And, you know, the thing is now is, you know, we're so outraged. And I think now in my old brain, I would say, well, then, you know, this I'm not doing this, or where's the union or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, those are the purposes of the union.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, those are the good sides that people forget.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I still think about that. I don't think I'm that old, but I guess I am.
That is quite a story, Julia.
I'm shocked.
I know.
I'm
we
shocked.
No
We're
words.
Like speechless.
You're going to have to carry the show a minute, right. Julia. We need a minute. We're going to faint over here.
Goodness me.
Well, Julia, thank you for sharing that story with us. And if I would love your colleague who got pregnant and left, please be listening and please call us.
I would
love to hear
from you. Right. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Well, thanks for the story. Have a great day, Julia.
Thanks. You too.
Oh, my goodness. We are talking all about things that we were told we could not do as girls. And apparently this topic extends into adulthood.
Yes.
Things that we are told as women we cannot do.
For decades.
Even until 1995. Heck, mm-hmm. even now. Let's be real. We have been spending a lot of time talking about the pantsuits that the first female presidential candidate is wearing. So nonetheless, we're not there yet, but gosh darn it, we're getting
there.
We made some good strides this week. All right, my friends. Amy Guth, Annabelle Laval, we're here in for Kathy and Judy today. We'll take a little break, get you to news and all that good stuff. When we come back, we are going to keep this topic going. So keep giving us calls, 312-981-7200. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Girls, we run this mother. That's a good one. And it's a good week to play it.
You know, this article that we're basing this on, it's so cool. The column from Marie Dillon. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
I love the vindication.
I know.
Some woman said, I was told girls couldn't smoke cigars. And then I did. I was told girls can't wear red shoes and red nail polish. I'm tweeting right now with red nails wearing 4-inch red pumps. Atta girl.
I love that. We're talking all about the things we were told as girls and women that we can't do, especially when we're little, because there's a story that kind of came out recently about how when Hillary Clinton was little, she wanted to be an astronaut, and she wrote NASA and kind of got this like, now then, girls can't be in a rocket ship. Sit down. And she was like, I'll show you. I will show you. And I love that stuff when it's like, I'm writing this with my red shoes. I'll show you. I had my great-grandmother, she tried to, somewhere in the 19-teens, tried to change the format of a birth certificate because she wanted my grandfather to have a hyphenated last name. And basically she got put in a jail cell and the cops called my grandfather and said, come get your hysterical wife. She's hysterical with the pregnancy. Come get her.
Exactly. It must be driving her crazy.
Right. She's clearly a woman and hysterical. So that didn't work out. But she gave him her last name was his first name, which is now my middle name, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's neat.
I carry her with me. Mm-hmm. Just kind of fun. But anyway, we're talking all about that. And of course, we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Let's see. Let us go to, how about Ellen? Hi, Ellen. How are you? Welcome to WGN.
I'm fine. I just wanted to say, it's not just in straight out jobs. When I was in high school, I had an art teacher in Wheaton laugh at me and tell me, why were women always taught to draw, but none of them ever turn out to be important artists. Then I went to Washington University in St. Louis and was told by a professor who told the entire class that, of course, the women will have well-decorated houses. As opposed to the men who actually will. By the way, I mean, this was 68, but nevertheless. And then I just happened to think about it when I was waiting on the phone. There is a book, a group of people And I saw them on Colbert last year, called the Gorilla Girls. They spell it G-U-E-R. Mm-hmm. And they wear a gorilla mask to protect whatever professional life they can muster. But, you know, I mean, it's like they said, of all the museums in New York, none of them within the last 10 years, and that was like in 1998, had a woman's show. And since then, like 10 years later, only one had.
Yeah.
Mm. Only one. So, yeah, I mean, it is so, you know, go to the Art Institute, take a look, you know. Yeah,
right.
You pluck out George O'Keefe, you know, really. But the one thing I was going to say before, and it's like I waited a long time, so I was thinking about this too. There is a great book. I mean, there are tons of them. Bell Hooks. If you haven't read Bell Hooks, read Bell Hooks. But for a child, if you want a brief, concise book, it's written by former President Jimmy Carter, I know. It is a great book on diversity as it applies to women. It's called A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Power, and Violence. Oh, my God, it is like one of the best books I have ever read on that.
Wonderful.
And I'm at the point in my life when I've given books away because I just don't want to keep carting them. But, you know, I actually went out and bought this. It is a great book, only 198 pages and fabulous. And it answers all the religious bigots, you know. And he can go Bible verse to Bible verse with them. And he's like, well, gee, Jesus never said anything. It's wonderful.
Sounds
you
like
know,
an interesting
it actually
read.
Restores your faith. I, you know, totally, you know, I look at broadcasters, by the way, Anna, I think you are so amazing on TV.
Thank you.
I just love your, you know, the way that you, your presence, I guess.
Thank you.
But, you know, oh yeah. And it's like, then I look at some of the, even in Chicago, the broadcasters, what is it with the spray painting of the dresses? I mean, it's like, how tight can they go? And to be honest, and I'm not going to be specific, but there are only three people that I've seen on Chicago TV. I mean, you would never wear it, but it's like, what in the world? You know, it's a carry-on of the whole thing. Beyonce comes out, well, Beyonce JC comes on an elegant, you know, James Bond-worthy tuxedo, looking handsome, dignified, and powerful. She comes out without pants on. Black Eyed Peas, you know, they're all like 37, 38. They all have their little outfits on, you know.
Hey, I think that if people want to wear skin-tight dresses or no pants, go right ahead.
I'm sorry. I think, you know what, I look, I'm an artist. I wouldn't care if they both came out, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce, stark naked. I'm not trying to be a prude. I'm just saying, when it's always the woman, please. You know, you never.
I did love in the new Ghostbusters movie how they made, like, they just had one hot guy in there that they would just, they didn't care if he was smart or not. They're like, oh, he's just hot, to kind of like give a middle finger to the movie industry, that's usually the woman's role in the movie.
Yeah, they flipped the script on that a lot.
But it is. It's so darn, you know, and it's like you talk about, you know, women being able to see through Hillary. It's like go on the comment boards and just say something and identify, you know, use your full name. And as a woman, you just get ripped apart.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Somebody said something to me, and I mean, this is silly, called me Buttercup. You know? And I'm like, okay, well, okay, that's actually funny. But, you know, it is a put down. And it's like, you don't see it with men. With men, they'll go factoid to factoid or whatever. But, you know, again and again. And it's like, I'm sorry. Then I started thinking about Hillary's husband. And then I started thinking about Tricky Dicky, you know, Richard Nixon. Neither one of those got the kind of grief that this woman gets. Yeah.
Did you guys, either one of you guys, have a problem with them putting Bill on the cover of all the newspapers?
That bothered me a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, that makes no editorial sense at all.
She's in the headline. I mean, she's the subject of the article. Right. Why did you put her husband on there? I know. I thought that was
again, you know, I'm not, you know, and I don't want to go into the politics thing because that's not your show. But I'm just saying, you know, that's not my thing. But it's like, I don't care, you know, and to be honest, I'm proud to say I don't have any friends who are not going to vote for Hillary out of self-defense, if nothing else. But I guess I get to do politics. I'm sorry. But it's like you look at this and you're like, what in the world?
Hey, know, Ellen, I mean, real quick, what is the name of that book? I had it.
I have it. It's called A Call to Action.
A Call to Action. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have some texters wanting to know.
Please, please, please. I mean, it's Amazon has it, Barnes & Noble, Chicago Public Library. It was really big on all the college campuses. You know, Bell Hooks is great, too, but, I mean, it's like she's like an academic. And so that's a commitment. But this is just pissy little, and I'm saying forewarned and forearmed after reading this book.
Well,
okay.
You are a wealth of information.
I know.
Thanks, Ellen. Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. All right. We go now to Colette. Hi, Colette. You're on WGN.
Hi. I'm a senior citizen, so it isn't shocking to know that as a teen, I was interested in being a pilot and was very strongly told only men are pilots. Mm-hmm. But I think we all feel like, oh, things are better. But my daughter, her first children happened to be twins, a boy and a girl. And consistently she heard, well, that's good. You've got your boy and your girl. You don't have to have any more children.
Choices. It's about choices, people. Just like the other caller was talking about what we wear, it's choices.
Yeah, it's all choices.
Let people be.
You know, I think what is, Colette, I think this would be interesting to hear from your daughter perhaps, but I have a friend who has a boy and a girl twin, and she has been noticing how people, strangers will come up and say things like, what a big, strong boy, and what a pretty little girl.
Oh,
like
girl.
They call the boy smart, or they call the boy, smart and strong, and they call the girl pretty and cute, and that drives her crazy.
Absolutely.
And you catch yourself saying things like, oh, you're so beautiful. And then you go, and smart.
And smart. And mighty.
And funny. And all those adjectives that go away from the traditional genders. My son is obsessed with the race car at Mariano's, which happens to be pink.
Yeah.
And I put him in it all the time.
Let's do this.
My husband doesn't because he gets weird looks. And I was like, well, get over it because it's the race car.
Build
and
a bridge,
he loves
get over it.
Right,
my friend.
Just get over it.
The other funny thing is when she had them and they were babies, she did dress pink and blue. You know, they're really tiny. And people would say, a boy and a girl, yes. Are they identical? She was going to discuss the physical differences, but she figured it was probably better not to.
Oh, thanks for the call, Colette. Those are great stories. Okay. Have a great day. Bye. Yeah, I guess people probably should familiarize themselves with what identical means.
Exactly.
We are talking all about things we were told as girls that we could not do. And, of course, that has extended into things as women were told we cannot do. So we're having a big discussion here about lots of important things here on 720 WGN. Don't you think it's time to put a woman in the White House with a whole new attitude? We could use a little female common sense down on Pennsylvania Avenue after 200. Who sings this?
I was just going to ask, and I didn't want to sound, not cultured, ignorant.
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, she
really?
Does? Oh.
We need to download that goose.
Yeah. Hit the Spotify.
It's
on that
Amy
one.
Guth and Anna Belaval in for Kathy and Judy. I'm getting tired, Amy. The accent is coming out.
<It's>
I need
good.
To eat.
I know. My world revolves around when do I next eat?
I know.
It's so fun. That's my number one hobby.
And WGN Radio should be called the Amy Guth radio station today.
On Saturday, the last few Saturdays, I've been on a spree. It's a thing. It's real. But it's fun. And I'm glad to do it. And it's been a joy to hang out with you today.
Likewise. What a topic.
I know. We asked this question and you have responded. We're going to try to get to all your calls in the remaining minutes of the show here. We asked about what were you told as a girl that you could not do? Because obviously it is a big week for woman power. There's some history making happening. And Marie Dillon from the Chicago Tribune editorial board wrote about that because it's kind of brought up some stuff for a lot of us of like, wow, this milestone. And for so many people that, we were told they couldn't be president and couldn't even try and all other things that we were told we could not do. And so we have posed that question to you and you have responded. So let's keep on with your wonderful calls. Hi, Shirley. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
It's still morning. It's still morning.
Yep.
Just wanted to tell you a story that you have brought to my mind about growing up. My dad had a very successful machinery dealer business, which was machinery and oil and wonderful. And of course, we supported him in all of the, as you say, the backroom work. you know, growing up. And as I got older and got into my choices, and at one point in my life, as he was beginning to think about retirement, it came to me, and I went to him and I said, Dad, why didn't you encourage me to go into the business with you? I was the only, we were two girls.
Mm-hmm.
So there were no boys, right? And I said, why didn't you encourage me? I love your business. I love the work. And he said to me, I didn't want you to be a dyke.
Ooh.
Wow.
And wow. I was just stunned by that he would, and I said, Dad, you know, that's a life choice. It has nothing to do. He said, well, all the women engineers in the world at that time mm-hmm. were all dykes. And that's what he said. And
Lord.
He said, I didn't want you to become a dyke.
Wow.
And I was astounded.
That's
and,
a heavy word.
You know,
sure is.
And a smart man. I was just, I mean, so smart and traveled the world and on and on and on. And I was floored.
But that was his core. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So I never got into the business, which he ended up having to sell. And I was so sad because it was our life's work, you know. As
yeah.
A did you end up in a similar industry?
No. Well, I did start life as a chemical engineer, but ended up three children later becoming a master's prepared nurse.
Wow. Quite the life. Quite the change of careers.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I decided in my life I might at some point need to be able to support my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I needed to have something that I could do that with, you know. So my choice was really more financial, I guess, than anything else. But
got it.
I said I could always be a nurse anywhere, anytime, any place. Mm-hmm.
That's true. We always need people in the medical world. Thanks very much for the call, Irene.
Backup plan.
Right. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Have a good bye-bye, you too.
Well, that was quite a story. Lord.
Right.
Hi, Carol. You're on WGN.
Amy and Anna, I can't tell you how much I have enjoyed this program this morning.
Oh, thank you.
You have just brought up so many memories, but quickly, and this is a silly one. My dad was a great guy, very progressive, but I remember in the middle to late 50s, when I was probably about 10 years old, that I was told that I could not wear jeans ever or pants with a zipper in the front.
With a zipper?
Why? Yeah. What was the explanation?
In the front.
Uh-huh.
You know, like jeans. Couldn't, because that was something that boys did. He never told me I couldn't do anything else, but I remember that. And, okay, so I'm 70 years old today, sitting here in my rolled-up jeans with a zipper in the front. And
girl power.
Girls, thanks so much for the memories.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the call. I was going to ask
you're
her.
You're welcome.
I was going to ask her that very thing. Like, I hope you're wearing jeans all the time now.
Right. And indeed, with a zipper, not button fly.
No.
Mm-mm.
Zip. I every zip must be a victory. I'll show you. Well, thank you all for the calls today on this very, very big topic. So many of you we could not get to, and I'm so very sorry, but we will continue this conversation on social media. You can find us both there.
Yes.
We're going to take a little break, get you to news, all that good stuff here in just a bit on 720 WGN. Well, that does it for us. Amy Guth and Annabelle Aval in for Kathy and Judy today. It has been a joy to work with you.
I'm so happy we could finally meet in person and work together.
Because we've been internet friends for a long time.
I know. I've been following you. Living vicariously, Amy.
Living vicariously through you as well. A big fan of yours and fun to work with you.
Likewise.
Today. And thanks to everybody who called in today with all of your wonderful comments. I wish we had a whole other hour to talk to you all. Lots of stuff and big topics.